Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
The Affair with Ikara Freeman. If you play this podcast, your life will be better. Welcome to something that we're going to try that's a little bit different. It's called the Midweek Affair Commentary Track, or MACT. M-A-C-T. MACT.
M-A-C-T.
M-A-C-T. M-A-C-T. My guest here is our months-long co-presenter, because it is the 30th of April, Johnny Lemon.
Hey, yo.
Although technically we're considering it May. Hey, yo. Hey, are you aggro?
Oh, yeah, this would be... No. I can be if I wanted to, but I'm not.
No, I mean aggro the puppet.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
No, I'm not that hairy, so I cannot.
So one of the things that we never got a chance to really talk about on The Affair, because, you know, we're limited. We only have an hour's time.
Yeah, I know. It's like every time it finishes, I'm like, oh, I had so much gags to say. I could have been like... Get the fans left, right, and center, but no. Yeah.
By the way, this is a podcast, and I always put this disclaimer out there. This is a podcast, so therefore it is going to possibly, there will be possible swearing, sexual references, maybe drug references, who knows, but they'll all be couched in that long line thing. If you have issues, they call Lifeline.
I will still try and refrain from swearing, because I think it's funnier when you replace the F word with fluff, and the S word with duty.
If you read this man's Facebook feed, that's all I have to say.
Oh, yeah, I let all my F words out on there. That's fine.
Okay, so you are... One of the things we didn't get a chance to really talk about was My Kitchen Rules. You are a massive fan of that.
Yes, I was, until my favorites got eliminated.
Now, who were your favorites?
I loved Joanna from the Cupcake Girls.
Okay, explain that one, because it's literally... Okay. Those two actually got on my nerves.
All right, Jenna was a crybaby, but yeah. Joanna was just like this fiery little... Spitfire, and she just had like the dark features, and she was like, I wanted to marry her. Like,
okay,
and then I found out that she was married already and had kids. So I'm like, I'm gonna burn down her house with her husband and kids in it, and then marry her and pick up the pieces later. I just loved her so much,
really.
And it's because she was like, I love strong women, and she's got that like aggression and attitude, and she's like a bit bitchy, but she was caring at the same time, and she would always pick Jenna back
but
up.
But why them as opposed to, say, Melina from...
I love her, too. They're my second favorite.
All right, so those were your second favorites.
Yeah.
Now, what about... Now, let's just take this one thing. Everyone... One of the controversial things about My Kitchen Rules was that they said that they sort of portrayed minorities in a very unflattering light, but you sort of have a good, interesting spin on that.
Do I?
Unless
I told you this already?
You have told me this already. I suggest get to your publicist.
Well, I have a bad memory, which is, well, talking about this earlier today, that's why I don't have a little black book, is because if I did, then maybe I'd remember all the people that I slept with. But anyway,
I never remember
the things I say.
I remember all... Okay, I kind of remember the people that I've slept with, but only because, by the way, this is one of the reasons why we're doing a whole month's long worth of podcast, because Johnny and I have this tendency to go on these sort of tangents.
Yes, that's why we need a whole hour instead of like...
We're going to need hours. No, that's not why we almost need another month to actually
go. Oh, yeah, true.
Okay, now, one of the things about My Kitchen Rules, though.
Yes.
I have to say, I watched it because the person that I live with is a very much a foodie, and so he was switching constantly between My Kitchen Rules and The Block, and I was just like saying like, could you pick one? And now it's onto The Voice, and I want to strangle him.
I had that problem too when The Block came on. I was like, oh no, when My Kitchen Rules came on, because The Block hadn't finished yet. I'm like, oh, it's like the clashing times, and then I'm just like, all right, I'll watch like half an hour of The Block, and then I'll switch to My Kitchen Rules, and then I would play catch up on the website. And
you know they do that intentionally. I mean, it's just like counter-programming has not actually...
It worked in Channel 7's favor, for sure, because I heard the ratings for My Kitchen Rules were through the roof.
Yeah, but how could they have been that big if it was just basically all Queensland final? But yes, we should actually... for those who don't know, My Kitchen Rules... Can you summarize My Kitchen Rules? Because we are an international podcast.
All right, so to the international listeners out there, My Kitchen Rules is basically a sort of like cook-off game show reality TV hybrid type of thing where they have couples from different states around Australia, and the first rounds are like instant restaurant rounds, they call them, where the judges and the fellow contestants will go to their houses and the contestants whose house it is will cook them a 3-course meal and then get graded on it. And then after the instant restaurant rounds, they all get their scores, and the people with the lowest scores get eliminated, and they go on to the kitchen headquarters rounds, which is like a sort of a what was it, like a battle?
Yeah, it's like Iron Chef in that regard.
Yeah, so yeah. They'll do competitions like random things like cook for 200 school kids or whatever. And then the people that get the lowest scores from those will wind up in the battle off thing, and then the next person from the next competition will wind up in the battle off, and then the two last teams fight it out with a culinary battle, and the losing team gets eliminated, and it goes through this through a number of weeks until we get to the final.
Basically, it goes on for the first 6 months of the whole entire year.
Yeah,
roughly.
Oh, it's awesome.
Oh, it's awesome. Well, if you've seen Come Dine With Me, it's really fun. I mean,
yeah,
it's like Come Dine With Me timed on steroids. Now, one of the interesting things about My Kitchen Rules that really sort of got on my nerves, though, is that...
Are we coming back to the racial thing, yeah?
We're coming back to the racial thing. Let's launch into it, racial thing.
So, yes, they have contestants of racial minorities, such as Asian and Indian, and they're portrayed as villains in a way. But I don't think it's that bad, because they're the people making the decisions to do it. They just happen to be of a different race.
Yeah.
And they're not being portrayed any worse off than if they hadn't said those things to begin with anyway.
Now, that being said, you're a director, okay?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I know from a writer's perspective, but you, from a director's perspective, you can edit people.
Of course.
To look foolish.
But they have to have said that to begin with.
Okay.
So, I mean, of course they're going to pick and choose the different lines that they say.
Okay.
But, you know, to start off with, the Asian girls have to criticize the other people in order for that, piece of footage to be there.
Okay, so that's a good point. They should have just sugared themselves a little bit more.
Well, I mean, Ashley and Sophia...
They went really long.
Yeah.
They went really far.
They came into it knowing they were going to say controversial things and be the villains, and they were perfectly aware of that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the Indian girls, what are they called? The Spice Girls?
Yeah, Jessie and Bishwa.
That's it. They are...
From New South Wales. Ironically, both of them from New South Wales.
Mm.
Really, yeah.
Maybe they're friends. I don't know. And so they're the ones that saying people's food looks like dog poo and stuff. So,
yeah.
I mean...
They were very artsy. Now, actually switching on, you said something very interesting on Facebook. See, you think you put
Okay, well, you need to remind me of this.
Okay, I will remind you. And because you've actually mentioned The Amazing Race.
Yes.
Okay. I liked The Amazing Race really, really early on. I haven't seen any of the Australian ones, and I kind of sort of think it's a bit cruel to air. I personally find it cruel to air U.S. reality television in a foreign country when you know people can't really participate. That's just me.
Well, I see your point, but I mean, the American Amazing Race is always going to be more popular. Well, not necessarily. I mean, when the Australian version comes on, it has fairly decent ratings, and I think they just have the American version as filler until the next Australian one comes through, because I think they've only done maybe two Australian versions.
They've done two Australian ones, and Grant Bowler is busy. Mm. Now, you wrote something very interesting, like saying, you're just doing a general shout-out to people who want to do The Amazing Race.
I was playing catch-up on The Amazing Race because I was procrastinating from homework, as usual.
You realize this is documented stuff. I'm not editing anything.
That's fine. I got it done in the end anyway. And so I was just having, like, a marathon of Amazing Race, and I'm just like, I love competition, and I love how competitive the other people get on the show, and I just, it doesn't matter what it is, it could be like Next Great Baker or something, because I can't bake to save my life or decorate cakes, and I'm not going to be good at The Amazing Race, and I can't cook, so I can't be on MKR, but I want to go on the show because it looks like so much fun.
Well, I actually could, we can actually make a good argument for us going on The Amazing Race. Okay,
all right.
Understand that I generally am a very lovely person, and this is the Hikaru Freeman selling himself for the Amazing Race thing. I'm a very nice person, and I'm very, very friendly, and I'm very jovial, as you can certainly attest to. However, put me in a competition, I become a complete sociopath.
really?
Oh, yes. Note the word sociopath. I'm not saying psychopath. Yeah. I'm saying sociopath, because I will intentionally tell people, oh, you want to know the quickest way to get from Melbourne to Sydney? Oh, fly Perth, you know,
that
sort of stuff. And I will take advantage of people's weaknesses.
You snake you.
My only request is that should I be selected as your partner to do the Amazing Race, all right, my only request is I cannot drive a manual.
I hate it when you see the show and there's that one person, or there's a couple that don't know how to drive a manual. I can drive a manual.
Okay, you can drive a manual. Yeah. Can you drive a manual? I can run with a backpack. I have experience in doing that.
Can you swim?
Yes, I can swim.
Okay, that's surprising.
Why is that surprising?
Because I heard a racial stereotype that was only recently. Because of The Amazing Race, this particular season that I was watching.
Seriously? They said that black people can't swim.
Well, no, because the two black guys couldn't swim, and then one of the other contestants was like, oh, of course they can't swim. And I'm like, what? Is this a racial
It
thing?
Is somewhat of a racial stereotype, because it all stems from the fact that there's a lack of public pools in urban neighborhoods.
So that's I went online and Googled them. Like, can black people not swim or something? And then I found out it's an actual thing.
It's a racial stereotype. Well, okay, the argument is, and by the way, if anyone regurgitates this to me outside of Mr. Lemon, I will hunt you down into the dark Georgia night, and that's a metaphor right there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the theory is that in Africa, because there's so many sharks in the water, obviously you're not going to really swim.
Yeah.
Because there's crocodiles in the rivers, you're not going to swim. It's just obviously around that. That's the African argument. Now, if you take it down to the American side of it, it just comes to the fact that there aren't just that many public pools. So if you don't have the opportunity to swim, how do you never do? You never learn how to swim. I, on the other hand, I grew up in the suburbs, and I was a junior lifesaver. So, you know.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah. I was a junior lifesaver.
What are the American lifesavers' uniforms like? Are they the same as Australians?
I was like the equivalent of a nipper, but remember the Speedo was not that popular.
Mm.
So they're much more just like, have you ever seen Baywatch?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's what they're like. It's like Baywatch.
The Australian ones are better, though. They get that yellow shirt and the red and yellow caps. That's really cute.
Have been watching too much Bondi Rescue?
No, I mean, I grew up, my parents were very like, let's travel around and do stuff. So, I mean, I went all around Australia at a very young age and saw all the lifesavers and stuff. And I was like, oh, they look really cool.
The Affair with Hikara Freeman. This is a podcast saying, play me one more time, please.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.